ध्यायामोदबलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरसङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुतिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकाम् ईश्वरीम्। In the previous shloka, in the 107th shloka, Shankara spoke about the fourth sadhana of Maunam. So Shankara clarifies, not exactly clarifies, but defines Maunam, as we can have confusion about what is Maunam. We already discussed it, but Shankara is again going to specifically mention that there are two types of Maunam in general. Like any other things, as we discussed, like one is external maunam or not speaking, so not utilizing the organ of speech, that is one type of maunam, but that is only a maunam not for a sadhaka. The real maunam that a sadhaka should be practicing is what Shankara spoke in the previous shloka of samabhavana, or being the Atman. So if we are the Atman, then we will not be able to do activities. That's why we discussed that the Maunam, being in Maunam or being in silence, means being a Sakshi. So maintaining Sakshi Bhavam is the real Maunam. When a person is the Sakshi, he is established as the Sakshi, in the Sakshi Atman, then is in real Maunam. That is the real Maunam, which Shankara explained through the Shruti quotation of Yadovacho Nivartante Aprapya Manasasaha. So that Shankara clarifies now, that there are two types of Maunam. One is external Maunam, the normal Maunam that we know of, which is restraint of speech, not speaking. And the real Maunam is being in that state wherein there are no words. So being the Atman, being the Sakshi Atman. And even that definition of that Maunam, Shankara is giving quite beautifully in the next two shlokas, 108th and 109th shlokas. Vacho yasyat nivartante tadvak तुम केन शक्यते प्रपंचो यदि वक्तव्यः सोपि शब्द विवर्जितः इति वा तद्भवेन मौनं सतां सहज संज्ञितं गिरा मौनं तु बालानां प्रयुक्तं ब्रह्मवादिभिः। So vacho yasma yasyat nivartante tadvaktum kena shakyate. So what is maunam? Why is being in Atman considered as maunam? Why being established in the state of Atman considered a state wherein a person is complete silence? Because vacho yasyat nivartante, vachah, words, yasyat nivartante, yasyat, from where words return without being able to describe that state, tadvaktum, to speak about that state, to describe that state, kena shakyate, by whom shakyate, who will be possible, who will be capable of describing that state of Brahman, that state of Sakshi Atman, where words don't reach, which state where words go, try to achieve but cannot achieve. So that state where words cannot reach, that state we cannot describe in words. Therefore, it is called the state of Maunam. So the state of Maunam is the Sakshi Atman, the state of Sakshi Atman, that state wherein a person is established in Brahman. In that state, we cannot speak. We cannot describe it, that state in words. And in that state, we cannot even use words. So whatever words we are using can never speak about that state because it is beyond words. If that is the case, then how are you defining? How are you describing it? How is Shankara explaining it? That is the reason why Vedanta or the scriptures in general can never speak about Brahman, but they only hint at Brahman in different ways. So it's a pointer. Scriptures are a pointer to Brahman. As Paramarthananda beautifully says, that scriptures are a mirror in which we can see ourselves. We cannot see ourselves, we cannot define or describe ourselves because we cannot see ourselves. So there cannot be any perfect description, but we can see ourselves in a mirror. So scriptures are those mirrors, scriptures are those pointers. A person who has knowledge of sea would understand the concept of pointers in sea. Like pointers are some, it stands for some entity. It points to something else. So scriptures point to Brahman. They point to Brahman as something which alone exists. They point to Brahman as the Sakshi. They point to Brahman as that which cannot be described in words. So that way of description is what scriptures achieve, and not direct description. If scriptures had given direct description, then we would just need to read them and we will become realized. That's not what happens. So scriptures only point towards Brahman. They only hint at Brahman. They vaguely define Brahman. Thereby we have to do sadhana in order to realize it. Unlike reading physics or chemistry or any other science, we just have to read a book, we'll gain knowledge and that's it. But with respect to scriptures, okay, we can say that, okay, we gain knowledge and we have lab or practicals as well, where we do things and experience it. But with Brahman, it is different, because any experience, any practicals in the world can be defined. We can define and describe it. Whereas Brahman cannot be defined. It can only be experienced by oneself. Therefore, it is a different thing. So scriptures only hint at Brahman. They don't really speak about Brahman. And even if we consider that they speak about Brahman, what do they say? They say that Brahman is that which cannot be defined. It is the eye of the eye. It is the ear of the ear. It is the mind of the mind. Yadvacha anabhyuditam ena vak abhyudate tadeva brahmatvam viddi na idam yadidam upasate. Yadvacha vacha anabhyuditam. So yadvacha anabhyuditam. Anabhyuditam means cannot describe or cannot apprehend. So that which cannot be objectified by the organ of speech. Yena vak abhyudate, by which vak, that which objectifies vak, that which gives vak the power of objectifying things in the world. Tadeva brahmatvam viddhi, know that alone to be Brahman. Na idam yadidam upasate, whatever somebody says you to worship this. If somebody says, reject it, because that is not Brahman. Brahman cannot be described it through words. So that is what Keno Upanishad in the very starting it gives. So scriptures speak about Brahman in a negative way. They say that it is that entity which alone exists. It is that which cannot be objectified. So vacho yasyad nivartante tadbhaktum kena shakyate. Since that Brahman which cannot be objectified by words, because it is the light behind the words, therefore how can we define or describe such a state? That means in such a state there is no prasakti for vak. Words are invalid in such a state. thereby such a state. Being in such a state is real maunam. So maunam is that state wherein we cannot speak. Why can't we speak even if we are Brahman? Okay, I am Brahman. I realize myself as Brahman. I am the Sakshi Atman. Still, why can't I speak? The moment a person is Sakshi Atman, the moment a person is Brahman, then he sees everything as Brahman. That means he doesn't have anything to speak about. And Sakshi Atman or Brahman doesn't have any relation with sense organs. The only relation that Brahman has with sense organs is that of an illusion and substratum. Even as water and desert have no relation whatsoever, except that water is an illusion in the substratum of desert. Similarly, Brahman and sense organs are not related at all. The only relation that we can speak about is that of illusion and substratum. The sense organs are illusions in the substratum of Brahman. Thereby, once a person is in the state of Brahman, then he cannot speak. We can explain this in different perspectives. Another reason why he cannot speak is we use speech because we want to speak. So people, when most of the people, when they are left alone, they become bored. Not only some people, they become bored, but they become so exhausted and tired that they cannot live. They fear loneliness. So they cannot be alone. Not only that, most of the people in the world, they have mental worries which they have to speak to another person. Oh, I got this today. I got that today. Today this happened. Today that happened. So all these things are required for worldly people because they want to tell. They want to show that they are happy to other person. But for a person who is in the state of Brahman, he is santosham, santushtaha. Santushtaha means he has santosham, he is content, he is perfectly content. So a person who is content will never speak because he doesn't have to speak. He doesn't have to speak to any person because he has to pass something, he has to explain something, and he doesn't need to speak because he needs consolence or consolation. So, either way or whichever way it is, a person who is in the state of Brahman, he need not speak. He will not want to speak. That is the reason why great saints like Ramana Maharshi and others try to go into a state of silence. They tend to avoid the world. They tend to live in the world as if they are mad people and they don't interact properly with the world. So, real maunam is when we are in the state of Brahman where we cannot speak, where maunam is inevitable. And okay, from the state of Brahman it's fine, then what about from the state of the world? That means, okay, when a person is a Sakshi Atman, from the state of Brahman he is maintaining maunam with respect to the world. Prapancho yadi vaktavyaha. If any person can speak about the world, so from the world perspective as well, we have to have maunam. A sadhaka who has knowledge, who has logic, who knows the shruti, who knows to apply proper yukti, and who can analyze his own anubhavam, shruti yukti anubhavam, he can analyze clearly. He will conclude that even the world, from the world perspective as well, the world itself cannot be spoken about. The moment we try to speak about the world, we will end up in maunam. Hey, that is the reason why a jnani will never speak about the world. If asked, oh, people are suffering. Oh, my roommate came and cried. She has lot of suffering. She or he has lot of suffering. My brother came and cried. My parents are crying that this is not happening, that is not happening. All such things, when a person who is in the world, a person who is worldly alone, will get affected by those suffering. During Ramana Maharshi's time, some of Mahatma Gandhi's followers went to meet him. They got his blessing and then they asked, "Oh Maharshi, why can't you do seva? Why can't you help the people in the world like Mahatma Gandhi is doing. Then Ramana Maharshi asked, why should I help the world? Then they said, don't you see people suffering? You should help the suffering people. Oh, I don't see anybody suffering. Since I don't see anybody suffering, therefore I cannot help any person. So with respect to the world, everything is an illusion. You cannot speak about it. You cannot speak about suffering, sorrow or any other thing. The fact, the reality is that each one of us is essentially blissful Atman. If we are the blissful Atman, then how can we suffer? And if a person claims to be suffering, then the only thing you can do is learn the scriptures. Tell him, learn the scriptures. He'll come to know. That's it. You cannot try to help people in the world. Trying to help suffering people in the world is like trying to fetch a bucket of water from the desert in order to quench the thirst of people who are seen nearby to the water. Even as the water is an illusion, people nearby, that's also an appearance. People appearing to be swimming, or let's say people, some you see water in desert and somebody is drowning, so you want to help the person. So it is futile. So in a similar way, trying to help the people of the world is futile, because there is no world at all. The world is only an illusion. If that is the case, then how come Amma's very goal of life is to help people in the world? Aren't you contradicting yourself when you say that a Mahatma will not help the world, will not see suffering in the world, whereas Amma is seeing suffering and helping suffering? Such a person who is asking such a doubt, should read the works of Amma. A person should read the works and words of such Mahatmas. If we realize, there is a beautiful work of Amma written by Amrita Swarupananda, Amma's main disciple. So he speaks about from Amma's heart. It's quite a beautiful work, because it speaks from Ajatiwadam. Ajatiwadam, or from that perspective that there is no world. So considering the world is an illusion, is from the Vyavaharika level. At the Paramarthika level, ultimately, Ajatiwadam, there is no world created. Prapancho yadi vidyeta nivarteta na samsheha. Maya matram idam dvaitam advaitam paramarthatah. Gaudapada says that prapancho yadi vidyeta. If you think the world exists, nivarteta, it will vanish. Na samsheha, don't ever doubt it. It will surely vanish. Why? Because it's not at all there. Maya matram idam dvaitam. The dvaitam that you see, the world that you see, is only maya matram. It's only an illusion. Therefore, advaitam paramarthatah. Ultimately, it is only advaitam. So, from Amma's heart, Amma speaks about the level of ultimate level. She says, though I am helping people in the world, though I see people suffering, when I see people suffering, I cry. When a person who is suffering comes to me and cries to me, I also cry. But when a person who is happy, he comes to me, I also laugh along with him. But internally, I know that there is no world. That is the state of a Mahatma. A Mahatma might be completely away from the world like Ramana Maharshi, or he or she might be doing worldly seva like Amma in a large scale that even United Nations acknowledges the mission of Amma. But internally, if you ask, what is the state? Oh Amma, I want to know an answer. Are you helping the people of the world? I learned in Vedanta that there is no world, but then how can you help? Are you helping? If a seeker asks with earnestness such a question to Amma, then the answer can be only one, that there is no world. It's only an illusion. I know that it is an illusion, and I am just playing my part in it. That is the reason why, if that was not the case, avatars or great people like even Krishna could have changed the Mahabharata war. He is the ruler of the world. He is the Ishvara who controls Maya. Then he can control and change the world. Did he do it? He didn't do it. If he did it, then we could have said that, okay, he is affected by it. He wasn't affected by it. That's the reason why he let things happen the way they are supposed to happen. Even a tsunami and other things were predicted by Amma, but she didn't stop it. It happened by itself. Because a Mahatma will try to help people, but he will internally know that everything is an illusion. So, not only from the Mahatma's perspective, if we consider science, the so-called advanced science, if we ask a scientist as to the world and where it has come from, then a lot of questions, a lot of unanswered questions, a lot of unsupported, unproven theories will come. Big Bang theory, that was the initial theory which started. Everything started from a single point, and then Big Bang, there was a bang. How did the bang come? Where did the bang come? Nobody knows. So a bang came and things exploded. That is the reason why things in the world, like objects in the world, are moving away from each other. That's one of the many theories. And another theory would be, oh, everything is just in space. So it's the same as initial scientists proclaim that the Earth is flat because you see it as flat. Then somebody else said that, okay, it is not flat, it is circle. And then they said something else. So it goes on and on. But if you ask a scientist the core question, okay, where is the world, where does the world reside? It resides in space. Where does space reside? That we cannot say because space is always there. Okay, where does the world get power? That is energy. And where did energy come from? No, energy didn't come from any place because it is always there. Energy can neither be destroyed nor created. But an intelligent person would ask the question, energy is insentient. Such an insentient entity cannot exist of itself. Then how can you say that energy is permanent? How do you say the space that space exists? Because space is also insentient. Insentient entities cannot exist of themselves. Then how do you attribute it? Where did the world come from? The entire world was created. It is in space. Okay, that is fine. Where did it come from? Oh, it came out of nowhere. So it is the same Buddhist philosophy of Shunyavadam. We will end up in that if we follow science. But if you ask a Vedantin, he will say, oh, the world, it cannot be spoken about. Why? Because it is anirvachaniyam. It is beyond description. Why is it beyond description? Because it is an illusion. Oh, world is beyond description. Brahman is also beyond description. Therefore, both are same. That's not the right answer. Both Brahman is anirvachaniyam. The world is also anirvachaniyam. Brahman cannot be spoken about. World also cannot be spoken about. But the reason why both cannot be spoken about is completely different. Brahman cannot be spoken about because it is the light behind world. Therefore, words cannot illuminate. The world cannot be expressed or defined in words because it is an illusion. Any illusion cannot really be spoken about because it never really exists. So, for a Vedantin would say that there is no world to even speak about. Then what is it that you see? That is the Atman. Where did the Atman come from? Oh fool, do you ever see the Atman vanishing? We can never say that a person sees the Atman vanishing. We can never see the Atman vanishing. Because even when we are sleeping, even when we are in a state, unconscious state, still the Atman or the Self is there. Therefore, the Self is always there. We cannot speak about the Akasham or space or anything else that science speaks about as ever existing. So, if the Atman is never born and always exists, why can't we accept energy also as always existing? We cannot accept energy as always existing because it goes against experience. It goes against logic as well because it is insentient. It goes against Shruti as well because scriptures don't say so. And it goes against one's own experience. Experience shows that Atman or I is always there, whereas Akasham or energy is not there. So science cannot speak about the world. So we cannot speak about the world because the world is an illusion. So prapancho yadi vaktavyaha. So if a person says, okay, in the state of Brahman or from the perspective of Brahman, it's fine. From the perspective of world, we can speak. With respect to the world also, a sadhaka will not speak. A sadhaka cannot speak about the world, will not speak about the world or Brahman because both cannot be explained. So, upi shabda vivarjitaha. Prapancham is also beyond shabdam because it is an illusion. So, that is the state of maunam wherein a person knows. A person doesn't remain silent because he cannot answer questions. A person doesn't remain silent because he has to. A person doesn't remain silent because he doesn't have anyone to speak. But he remains silent because he cannot speak about his state of Brahman. Neither can he speak about the illusory world because the world is also an illusion. And the two things that are available here is Brahman and Jagat. Brahman cannot be spoken about because it is beyond words. Jagat cannot be spoken about because the sadhaka knows that Jagat is only an illusion, therefore they cannot define it in any ways. And since the sadhaka is in the Sakshi Atman state, in that state he cannot speak because he is Brahman. Brahman cannot speak, and he cannot speak about the world as well because he is in the state of Brahman, as therefore he cannot speak irrespective of whether it's about Brahman or the world. He cannot speak, and he cannot speak because about the world we cannot speak. So that is real maunam. So Shankara gives a, we can interpret a slightly different interpretation here than the Sakshi Bhavam, being in maunam, being as Brahman, that this is the state where a sadhaka tries to be in Brahman. He is not in the state of Brahman, he tries to go into the state of Brahman. The first step to try to go into the state of Brahman is realize that we cannot speak, we cannot define anything. So you can speak, try to speak, you can speak with any person you want, you can speak whatever is required, whenever it is required, but internally the sadhaka knows that he cannot speak about Brahman, that state wherein he is trying to be, that state where he frequently or he always tries to be, and he cannot speak about the world, anything about the world, because it is an illusion and futile. So iti va tad bhaven maunam. This is also another definition of maunam. So the one way of saying maunam is when a person is the Atman, and a slightly different interpretation is when a sadhaka knows that he cannot speak about Brahman and knows that he cannot speak about the world. Those are the only two things present here. He cannot speak about both, therefore he remains silent. So he may speak externally, internally in his mind he'll be always silent. Silent means he will be unaffected. So again, it is Sakshi Bhavam, but it is knowing that he cannot speak. Whereas the other case, he is the Sakshi, therefore he cannot speak. Here he tries to be the Sakshi, and when he tries to be the Sakshi, along with that he knows that he cannot speak, therefore he doesn't speak. So iti va tad bhaven maunam. Va or iti tad bhaven maunam. This is a different type of maunam. Satam. Satam means Mahatmas or saints. Sahaja sanyatam. It is sahaja sanyatam. It is kind of a natural state. Or it is a state wherein sadhus try to be always. It is like always they have the intellectual conviction that about Brahman and the world we cannot speak. Therefore speech is futile, invalid. Speech is not useful unless we need worldly objectives. So, Shankara says that we shouldn't speak. Speaking about the world, speaking about Brahman is impossible. Therefore, Shankara says we shouldn't speak. Therefore, I'll sit quiet the entire day. If such a person says so, then he cannot survive. Why? If he wants to survive, then he will have to be a farmer. He'll have to go to any of the villages in India and then try to cultivate, because if he cannot speak, he cannot go to a shop and buy things. Therefore, it is a wrong interpretation to say, to consider that Shankara says a person should be Maunam, therefore I will not speak. It is not that way. It is only whenever we need to speak, we can speak. But internally, to have the conviction in the mind, in the intellect, that we cannot speak about both things. And it is sahajam, sahaja sanyitam. It is the sadhus or mahatmas try to be in that state naturally, means try to be in it ever. So it is a natural state for them. Ask them about any questions about Brahman or the world, they will explain, but internally they will know that, oh, everything is an illusion. There is no use of words. So if I am able to, I will speak. If I don't want to, I will not speak. Like Ramana Maharshi, they will not speak. And Gira Maunam Tu. So if that is the case, you have, okay, Shankara, you have given me two interpretations of Maunam now. One is being the Sakshi, one is trying to be the Sakshi with the knowledge, with the conviction that you cannot speak about Brahman. Therefore, internally you will obtain Maunam. So one is Sakshi Bhavam, direct Sakshi Bhavam. The other is trying, going into Sakshi Bhavam because you cannot speak about anything. But then what about the normal Maunam? How do you explain it? Because that is what various Mahatmas, various saints in the world prescribe. So Shankara says, Gira Maunam Tu. Gira Maunam. Gira means words, Maunam. Maunam of words. Maunam of just words or the Vagindriyam, trying to be externally non-speaking. That Balanam Prayuktam. For children, for ignorant or children. Brahma Vadibihi has been proclaimed by Brahma, knowers of Brahman. So the site gives the interpretation of Bhalanam as ignorant, but we don't need to consider it as ignorant, we can consider it as children or small people, people who are not knowledgeable. So it almost translates to ignorant, but it's not an ajnani, we can say initial sadhakas or childish sadhakas, how to define it. It's like sadhakas who are not well advanced, they don't know much. Therefore, for them, it is better that they don't speak. Therefore, for such normal seekers, for such very starters, for such worldly people, worldly ignorant people, or just starters, starting or beginner, knowers of Brahman speak about restraint of speech. And why do they explain restraint of speech for such ignorant people, such worldly people, or just beginners? Because most of the trouble in the world starts from word. So we may be talking to one of our friend, close friend, we'll talk for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, then all of a sudden the other person will make some comment, and just because of that comment, then it will start. The other person would have just mocked by telling, okay, you don't do work that much because you are always like surfing websites, I know, in office you don't work. Then the other person gets like, his ego gets attacked or affected. Therefore he says, how dare you say this? And then it all starts. So most of the problems in the world start with words. So it's verbal fight or misinterpretation of words or wrong usage of words is the cause of worldly troubles. So troubles in the world, relationships and all those things. So if we can get rid of that for some time, at least for some time, then it will help us a lot. Either we fight with people with respect to words, or we use bad words, which of course we are a lot used to. So, if for worldly people, the longer they observe external or Vagindriya Maunam, the better for them and the better for people around them. Thereby, Brahmajnanis have spoken about Maunam or Maunam of Vagindriyam. We'll continue with the next sadhana in the next day. Hari Om.